Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. And love, you had anything else while we turn? Okay. And don't forget to sign up for softball in the foyer. Amen. I heard, y'all, that as far as the kids are concerned, we have over 70 youngsters that signed up. Amen. I'm talking about it. Woo! So it's going to be on like popcorn, I'm telling you. And also adults, go ahead and sign up as well. Amen. Keep that blood moving so we can be healthy and fit. Amen. For the kingdom. Amen. So Hebrews 2 and 5. Anything else? All right, Hebrews 2 and 5. Hallelujah. Let's start there. But the Bible says here, for unto the angels had he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, of the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God had given me. Father, we pray you add a blessing to the reading, to the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Saints of God, we've been going through the book of Hebrews, amen. And we notice, amen, that it is a book that's kind of unique as far as the New Testament goes. It's unique because it's the only New Testament book specifically written to the Hebrews, almost exclusively. It was written to encourage us, amen, to stay in the faith, to stay in the new covenant, to not let go of Yahshua Jesus, no matter how the pressure mounts up from the unbelieving Gentiles or even the unbelieving Hebrews. In chapter 1, he told us that the new covenant was better than the old because we have a better messenger. In chapter 2, amen, he says we need to give heed, study it more, pay attention to it more. Hallelujah. Why? Not only because we have a better messenger, but because if we don't, we'll let it slip. We'll drift away from it. So we have to guard, amen, from falling away from the new covenant. We started a series on anthropology, Christology, and theology. You notice that anthropology is the study of man, and so we talked about man in relation to the new covenant, how man lost something in the garden, amen. How the book of Hebrews says, hallelujah, now we don't see everything under him because he lost it all. He lost the honor, the glory, and the dominion when he fell, amen, through Satan's tricks and tactics. But the Bible says, but we see Jesus, amen. So then we began to study Christology. And we began to study how Christ became a man and he took back everything that the devil stole from us to the glory of God. Come on, give God some glory, amen. We began to talk about theology, amen, the Father's plan of redemption, amen, for us. We saw God's universal ownership, God's creator status, God's authorship and architectural design of salvation, amen, and how he had the prerogative to decide, amen, number one, that we would be saved. Number two, how we would be saved. It's all for him and by him. And so he has that prerogative to decide that. We can't look to him and tell him how we want to be saved. He tells us the way of salvation. Come on, give him some glory, amen. And so last time we started talking about soteriology, which is the study of salvation, amen. And that's what the book of Hebrews, amen, that's where it's going. He wants to talk about the study of salvation and just show how the new covenant is just so much better, amen, in regards to its saving mechanisms and methods, amen. We talked about point number one, he that sanctified. And so we talked about our whole sanctification process through Christ, how he sanctifies us both positionally and practically. And what we mean by that, amen, is that as soon as we save, we are positionally made holy, amen, by the blood and by the passion of the cross of Calvary. But also after that, after we justify by faith, he practically makes us holy. And that's what we normally term the sanctification process, whereby he on a daily basis, amen, challenges us, amen, and challenges the sin that's in our life, whether it's open, whether it's in our thoughts, our mouth, or in our hands. He is always cleaning us up, amen. He that sanctified. And then we looked at not only the sanctification of Christ, but the unification with Christ. And we saw in our second point that all are one. Amen. We are one with him in death, which gives us freedom from sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Remember we talked about that? That sin only has the right to govern us as long as we are alive. But when we die, sin has to release its claim upon us. Well, we died in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Well, that unity with Christ in his death gives us freedom from the clutches and the power of sin. We saw our oneness with him, amen, even in the resurrection, and how when he died, he rose again to newness of life. And so us too, when we get saved, we not only die with him, we are raised with him, and we should not walk in the old man, but walk in the newness of life, as Colossians 3, which was our homework, all right? Can anybody quote the whole chapter for me? I'm just joking. Hallelujah. That we ought to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. You know what I'm saying? And so, hallelujah. And you know, tonight I was going to talk about our oneness, not only in his death and his resurrection, but I was going to talk about our oneness with his ascension. And how the Bible in Ephesians says that when he ascended, hallelujah, we went up with him in the supernatural. And how we are seated in Christ, seated together with Christ, where? In heavenly places. And he is above every principality, every power, every dominion, every ruler, hallelujah, every name in this world and in the world to come. Amen. And since everything is under his feet, and since we the body of Christ, if it's under his feet, it's under our feet as well. Amen. And the old folk, hallelujah, the old folk didn't know what to call that. Amen. They didn't have the big words, the ascension, the unification with Christ. All they knew, Brother Steve, was Satan is under my feet. He's under my, you know how they used to jam that? Amen. They couldn't say the big words. But they knew because of Christ's ascension. Amen. And where he's seated, that the devil couldn't push him around no more. That the devil couldn't order him around no more. That because of the ascension, amen, hallelujah, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and we now have authority to not be pushed around no more by the enemy or anybody else. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Hallelujah. That's what I was going to talk about the whole time, too. But God in the prayer closet told me, nah, I don't want you to talk about that. Go to your third point. I want you to talk about something else. Call them brethren. Call them brethren. And since I'm his servant and not my own, I'm his doulos, bond servant, and not my own, I'm going to listen to what he's saying. Call them brethren. We get this from verse 11 of chapter 2. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one. We went through that. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And what I'm doing is I'm just focusing on that word brethren. And how Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. We are his brothers and sisters. This teaches us a lot. Amen. Because we not only share in his death, we not only share in his resurrection, we not only share in his ascension, but we share in the family of Christ. We share the paternity of Christ. Pastor, what you mean by that? Well, since I'm saved, I have the same daddy as Jesus Christ. We share paternity. Anybody hear me up in here? We brothers. That's my bro. That's my big brother. We share the same paternity, you see? And Romans 8:15, amen, speaks about it, all right? We share the same father through a word that God wanted me to talk about tonight, hallelujah, and that's the word adoption. Anybody hear me up in here? Come on, come on, say the word adoption. right? Romans 8:15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what? Of adoption. Whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. We can cry Abba, Father. We can call God Father because we have been adopted. That's what he wanted me to talk about tonight. He said, no, don't do the ascension. Talk about adoption tonight. You see? So we're going to talk a little bit about it. It might take me two Tuesdays too, you know? But let's just take our time and just talk about adoption. Point number three, subpoint A. You need to understand that adoption is a legal process. It's a legal process. Right? Adoption is a legal process where a non-biological child receives all the legal benefits, all the legal rights of a biological child. A non-biological child receiving all the benefits and the rights of a biological child. You see? A child that's not your blood, a child that did not come from your body, receives all the benefits, rights, and privileges of a child that's your blood and that came from your body. You see? It's really a big deal. It's so much of a big deal, it took the law thousands of years to catch up with the Bible. Because the Bible been talking about adoption. Adoption been in the Bible since the book of Genesis. One of the first cases of adoption, amen, was when Jacob looked at Joseph. He said, Joseph, I'm adopting your two boys, Manasseh and Ephraim. There's no tribe of Joseph in the 12 list, amen. Now, he took those two as his own, amen, so he can give them a bigger portion. That's what he was trying to do. See, because if he would have kept it the tribe of Joseph, they would have to split Joseph's share. He said, nah, y'all going to get your own share. So Jacob adopted Manasseh and Ephraim, and that was one of the first cases of adoption. And listen, this was way in Genesis. Do you know it wasn't until 1850 in America, in 1926 in the British Empire, before the legal system caught up with the biblical covenants of God. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't put it into words. How somebody who's not blood would accept somebody who was not their blood and give them everything. Human law couldn't put that into words. How are we going to put that? That's not your daddy, but you're treating him like your dad. That's not your son, but you're treating him like. They didn't know how to put that. So they finally, amen, by the grace of God, came up with a totally new legal status. They created something called, amen, you're not my biological mama, you're not my biological daddy, but you are my legal mama, you're my legal daddy. It was a whole new status that they created. Legal mama, legal daddy. Right? And it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Philly, I stopped by here to tell you tonight, that if you saved in this place, God is your legal daddy tonight. And you are his legal son and legal daughter. Anybody hear me up in here? Well, to be legal, amen, hallelujah, a few things had to happen in the adoption process. All right? The adoption process, amen, involved getting a lawyer. Amen? Because you needed somebody to prepare all the paperwork. So you had a lawyer and you got a whole bunch of paperwork. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? You not only have a lawyer and a whole bunch of paperwork, amen, but you got to stand before a judge. You see? This ain't like buying a car. No, you're getting a child and it's a legal status type of thing. When I was practicing, people would come in, amen, and say, I want to make that my child. Like, I could just hocus pocus do that in paper. Oh, no, baby, this is a process. We got to petition the court for this. I can give you a temporary legal mandate, a custody, where you could bring him to the hospital, where you could check him in the school, hallelujah. But as far as the legal adoption process, amen, we got to go before a judge for that. A lawyer, paperwork, and a judge. Do you not know that all of these three elements are fulfilled in the process that God put you through? Hallelujah. Pastor, show me the paperwork. How much paperwork did God fill out, amen, to make me his son? Look at the paperwork right here. 66 books of the Bible. Amen. That's the paperwork, baby. And there's no adoption paperwork in the, hallelujah, 50 JDC downtown Lafayette quite like it. An adoption process that goes from Genesis all the way to Revelation with so many covenants and promises in the middle. Promises like John 1:12, where he says, but as many as receive him. Hallelujah. As many as receive him. As many believe him and accept him. To them gave he the what? The power to become what? The sons of God. The sons and daughters of God. That's part of the paperwork. That's part of the paperwork. Not only was there paperwork, amen, but you had to have a lawyer. And I'm telling you, we not only had a paperwork to make the process sure, we had an attorney, hallelujah, that was better than Johnny Cochran on our side. Anybody know the name of our attorney, of our advocate? That's right. That's right. Gave us a package paperwork, amen, hallelujah, and then gave us a lawyer. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have a what? We have an advocate, a lawyer, an attorney with the Father. Who is he? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So we got the paperwork down. We got the attorney down. Well, now we need a judge. You see, because a judge got to put down the gavel and say, granted. A judge got to say, amen, I see your motion, amen. You're moving the court to adopt this child, amen, and put them under your legal umbrella and give them your name, amen. The judge take the gavel out, hit the gavel on the bench and say, permission granted, amen. Motion granted, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I saw that in the scriptures. The Bible says in 1 John 3:1, it says, behold, what manner of love. Behold, what manner of love. The Father had bestowed. You know what that word bestowed means? In the Greek, that word bestowed means, hallelujah, to pass judgment. Oh, God. That word, hallelujah, bestowed means to grant a motion. Anybody hear me? That God the Father had granted our motion. That God the Father had passed the judgment of our adoption, amen, that we should be called the what? The sons and the daughters of the Most High God. Come on, give God some glory up in here. Adoption is a legal process. Subpoint B. Adoption costs. It costs. Most of the time it's not for free right off the bat because the paperwork costs. The lawyers cost. Y'all don't want to tell me how much them boys charge an hour. Listen. It's usually three digits. There's a cost associated with adopting children. Some of the costs are financial, huh? You got to pay for that paperwork. You got to pay the agencies. Some of the agencies charge you for the child that they're giving you. And if you're successful in paying the upfront fees, guess what you're going to pay for the rest of your life? You're going to pay for that child for the rest of your life. Because they got to be clothed and fed and everything else. Yeah, some cost to it. Well, Pastor, how does that relate to us? Did God have to pay for our adoption? Woo! I'm telling you, you're the legal son. You're the legal daughter of the Most High God. That's what he wanted me to tell you tonight. In Galatians 4:4, look what it says. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to do what? To redeem. That redeem means to purchase. It means to pay for. It means to buy back. To redeem those who were under the law. Why did he purchase us? Why did he pay what he paid? Why? So that we might receive the adoption as sons. All right? Did you catch that? No payment, no adoption. No payment, no adoption. Adoption costs. Adoption costs, and somebody paid for you to be in the family of the Most High God. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Hallelujah. Subpoint C. Adoption is planned. Adoption is planned. All right? Oh, no, nobody just be driving, riding around Lafayette and say, hey, let's adopt a kid. Let's stop right now and adopt a kid. I mean, not usually. All right. No, 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 no. It's a long, drawn out process. Husbands and wives sit down together. Amen. Hallelujah. They talk about it. And they talk about all of the things, amen. It's a whole plan. It's thought out, amen. Everything is talked about, amen, from when the child is a little baby all the way up till the child grows up, amen. Adoption is planned. It's the same thing with God. You think that God just, hallelujah, off the cuff just adopted you? You think that he just, at the spur of the moment, just say, oh, I'm adopting you? No, 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 no. This was a plan, baby. This was a plan. And it wasn't a plan that was a month away, a year away, 5 years away, 10 years away. Let me tell you how long God been planning to adopt you. Let me tell you how long he been planning to bring you into his family. All right? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says this. According as he had chosen us in him. How long? Before the foundation of the world. Before he created the world. He chose you. To adopt you before he laid the foundation. Put the stars in the sky, the moon, the sun. Amen. Well, what does this mean? This means before there was a garden, before there was sin, before there was a serpent. Amen. Before it was all. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. He chose us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is the status he wanted us to stand before him in. He didn't want us to stand before him as sinners, hallelujah, on our way to hell. He wanted us to stand before him holy and without blame before him in love. We can't do that on our own because we're not blameless and we're not holy, all right? But he's going to tell us, all right, in verse 5, having predestinated us. To predestine means to decide the destination of something beforehand. When y'all go on vacation or drive out of town, Miss Angela, amen, hallelujah, you get the map and y'all know where y'all going. Or you put the GPS in and before y'all even head out, you know where you're going. But what have you done? You have predestined. Hallelujah. You've predestinated something. You're just not driving off, amen, we're going to see where we're going to go when we get there. Oh, no, 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 we know where we're going. Anybody hear me up in here? All right, we're going to Atlanta. We're going to put in Atlanta. We have predestinated something. Well, before you was born, God predestinated your life. Oh, I think I'm messing the head up. He had already decided where you was going. Having predestinated us unto what? Unto the adoption of children. I love this. Huh? He predestinated us to what? To adoption. He said, yeah. These over here, that's going to be mine. The angels say, what you mean? They're going to be mine. The angels say, what you mean, God? They're going to be mine. What you mean? They're going to be my children. Kevin Briscoe is mine. He said, what you mean? No, he's not yours, God. Wait, you already got a son. No, 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 no. You don't understand, angel. I am adopting him. The angel said he never even been in existence yet. Don't worry about that. I've declared the end from the beginning. I'm telling you that before he born, he's already mine. In fact, hallelujah, when we get to heaven, we're going to see the book that was written before the foundation of the world. They call it the Lamb's Book of Life, and the names are written before they was ever born. He adopted us. It was planned. It happened before the foundation, before you was born. That's why God can tell you, look you square in the face, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's why God can look at you in the face and say, before you was in your mother's womb, I called you and ordained you a prophet. I've been loving you a long time. I've been waiting on you. I've been waiting on you. This adoption process has been planned from God. The Bible says, having predestined us, predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Yes, these are the ones I will adopt. You see? And the Bible says who he does it through. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. How does he do it? By Jesus Christ. He paid the payment. His blood cleanses us of sin so that we can stand holy and blameless before him because we would not be able to do it. He does the adoption through Jesus Christ to bring us to who? To himself. All right? And why did he do it? According to the good pleasure of his will. Pastor, what does that mean? What does it mean when he say, why did God adopt us, big brother? And he got this statement, according to the good pleasure of his will. Y'all want me to tell y'all what that means? Because he wanted to. That's a fancy way of saying, because I wanted to. God, why did you pull me in? Why did you adopt me? Because I wanted to. It was according to the good pleasure, God is saying, of my will. It's what I wanted to do. I will give mercy to whom I want to give mercy. Don't you question me. Just be happy that you're in. You understand what I'm saying? Just... Hallelujah. But there's another reason. There's another reason why he adopted us. And it's in verse 6. Not only because he wanted to, but verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Right? Right? To the praise of his glory of his grace. You see? God adopted us so that one day we would get a revelation of how sweet salvation is. And we would praise his grace. We would praise his grace. We would say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side. We would just say, amazing grace, how sweet the psalm that saved a wretch like me. If we would just say, hallelujah, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. He did it so we could praise his grace. Right? He wanted us, when we got to heaven, or even while we was on earth, to thank him for his unmerited favor upon our lives. He wanted us to praise him for the undeserved forgiveness and blessings, the unearned and unconditional promises he's given us. He wanted us to praise his grace. See, saints, he adopted us. And he saves us, and he forgave us, all by grace, all by grace, all right? It was because he wanted to, but he was motivated by grace. He was motivated by it. He said, I'm going to show the world a side of me that they ain't never seen before. They done seen my power. They done seen me split seas. They done seen me destroy nations. But I'm going to show them a side of me. You see, because they praise me for my holiness. They praise me for my justice. But in this new covenant, amen, I'm going to show them a side of me that the world ain't never seen. I'm going to show them my grace. And I'm going to do it so that they could praise the glory of my grace. In my notes I have, it was purely grace that motivated God. You see, when families go to adopt, amen, there were a plethora of different reasons why a family would adopt children, all right? In the old days, amen, and even now, if a child, amen, parents are gone, amen, and they come from a good family, and that family might have left that child some money or whatever, you know, like the Jackson kids, everybody fighting to adopt them. Why? For selfish purposes? Because wealth is in the picture? That child gonna get a check for the rest of their life. And you as a guardian, as a tutor, you grab that child, amen, it's payday, it's another check. That's another income. All right? And so to be honest with you, some people adopt for selfish motives. Some people adopt, amen, because it was a good family, because it was they gained something by it. You see? I'm gonna tell you tonight that wasn't God's motivation. That wasn't God's motivation. You see, we didn't come from a good family. We didn't have nothing to add to God. We didn't have nothing to offer him. He didn't gain anything by coming down and get us. He didn't do it. It was purely by grace. You got to fill me up in here. See, if I had to talk about our family, where we come from, see, you would know that God didn't adopt us because we come from a good family. Let's go all the way back to Adam and Eve. You think we come from a good family, Adam and Eve? They disobeyed him. They rebelled against him. They listened to a snake instead of him. Huh? A fallen lineage, a fallen race. Amen. That's our family. Now let's bring it back closer. Let's think about our own mom and daddy. And think about our own grandpa and grandma. And I know some of you got some exalted views of your grandma and grandpa, but listen, Holy Spirit pierced back the lies from their eyes. We come from sinners, man. We come from sinners, man. And usually, listen, when a king wanted to adopt back in the day, when a king wanted to adopt, he would adopt from the best families, the nobles. All right? What God did when he adopted us, he didn't go to the best families. What God did is like the king going down, not to the nobles, not to the knights, not to the bishops, not to the rooks, not even to the pawns. God went to the uttermost and the guttermost to come and get us down. That's like the king walking through the village, amen, and see somebody eating out the trash and say, I'll pick him. Well, king, you don't understand. He come from the worst of the worst. He come from the worst family. You don't know his mom and his daddy. It was merely grace. Let's talk about it a little bit. Y'all still up? Y'all still up? Y'all say, Pastor, going crazy. I am. I'm going crazy. I got a taste of some. Hallelujah. I got a taste of his grace. Listen to me. Look at our immediate families. Look at our lineage of sin. You won't have to look far to see adultery in your line. That's where you come from. You won't have to look far to see fornication in your line. That's where you come from. Some won't have to look far to even see things like homosexuality, bestiality, pedophilia, touching kids in their line. That's the family he adopted us out of. Some people got drunkards in their family. Get drunk. You know, you saw it, you remember it vividly when they were drunk, pass out in their own mess, in their own vomit. And when God looking to adopt a child, guess what? He go to the drunkard family. He say, give me that child. Huh? Huh? Some not drunkards, drug users. Parents, drug users. Mom and daddy still on crack, still on drugs to this day. You see, us, when we go to adopt children, amen, some of us get picky, amen. We just won't just take any old child. But God, go to the dope house. Anybody hear me up in here? He walked through and he said, I'm going to take that one. No, God, you don't understand. You don't know God. God said, no, give me that one. That's the one I want. I don't care what family they come from. This is not about a good family. This is about grace. It's about unmerited favor. Not just the drug users, the drug dealers. Huh? Children straight out the trap house. God said, I don't care what your daddy did. I'm adopting you. He adopting the children of thieves, the children of liars, the children of burglars and robbers who would go into the malls and come out with bags of clothing, amen, that they ain't paid for. He adopting children of gamblers, amen. Children of idolaters, amen. Bowing and bending to statues and praying to saints and all kind of stuff. And God could have said, I don't want them kind of children in, oh God, in my family. Ooh, excuse me, y'all, I'm getting excited. Because I feel I'm talking about myself. And God said, give me that one. Straight from the Carmelite. Give me that one. Straight from the knees of the statue. Give me that one. Straight from Sister White, Sister Cleo, Black Magic, Voodoo. Give me that one. Family steeped in superstition. No, it wasn't a good family. It was grace. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Gangbangers, fighters, murderers in the family. God said, give me that one. Notwithstanding all of our family feuds and family flaws, God has put us in his family. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad. Oh, I'm so glad. You know what I'm saying? And that's that scripture, amen. We're going to bring it up again. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the what? The sons and the daughters of Almighty God. He overlooked our family, huh? But not only that, huh? Two, our personal characteristics. You see, because it wasn't just your family that was in sin. Oh, is the rubber going to meet the road? The rubber going to meet the road right here. It's going to meet the road, but I guarantee you, by the time you get out of here, you're going to praise him for his grace. See, I'm going to make you small to make God big. And then I'm going to make us small so we can make God big. Amen. That's real church. See, I'm tired of church making us big. I'm tired of church, hallelujah, exalting man. That don't do nothing for us. See, when I exalt you and pump you up, you leave out of here and catastrophe happened and you already deflated. Yeah. When you fail you, after I done inflated you, when you fail you, you ain't got no hope left. But if I can make God big in your eyes, if I can magnify the Lord, even when you fall, even when you messed up, you got an anchor for your soul. You got something to hold on to because your God is big. Come on, let me show you the glory of his grace up in here. He adopted us, not because we was in a good family, and he showed it and adopted us for our personal characteristics. See, sometimes people would walk through the orphanage, huh? And they would walk through to see, hallelujah, a child, hallelujah, that would have certain characteristics, huh? And they walk through the orphanage like they shopping, amen? And they look at a child, they say, oh, she's so beautiful. Oh, he's handsome. And they pick them just for their looks. They're beautiful, they're handsome. Another family come through, amen, they watch them build stuff. They say, oh, he's so smart, he's so intelligent, he's so ingenuitive. And they pick him for his engineering skill, even as a child, amen. And one of them just sitting down there so quiet and got her dress on right. They say, oh, she's so well-behaved. And they adopt them because they're well-behaved. And another one, amen, hallelujah, they just do the right thing all the time. And so, hallelujah, everybody at the orphanage is saying, listen, you got to have this child. This child, it might not be a looker, amen, but they're a taker, amen, because they do everything right. Tell the truth all the time. And they're just morally better. They're morally better, hallelujah, than the couple's only biological children. So they go in there and they pick based on personal characteristics. And I want to tell you tonight that though man adopt man on personal characteristics, God did not adopt us on personal characteristics. He adopted us, Miss Amisha, solely by his grace. And I'm so glad because of that. What would have God seen if he'd have looked at our personal characteristics? He would have seen, amen, hallelujah, that there's none righteous. No, not one. He would have seen that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He would have seen that our righteousness are as filthy rags. He would have seen that there's none that comprehended, none that understandeth, and none that seek God. He would have seen that of and of ourselves, we prefer darkness instead of light. He would have seen that all of our imaginations are evil continually and vain and go astray. He would have seen, hallelujah, that though he loved us like sheep, we have all gone astray. That's what he would have seen in us, in all of us. And then he would have looked closer and seen our individual flaws. Because that was the stuff that we all have in common. But don't you know each of us got our own generational, besetting, personal issues? So what he would have seen, huh? If he would have, if he'd have adopted us on our individual personal characteristics, he'd have seen sexual perversion before Christ. What he would have seen in you, huh? Fornication. How he was going in the club trying to lay with a different woman every single weekend. What he would have seen, woman of God, huh? How some nights, amen, some weekends, you even laid with two or three of them. What he would have seen? That in one day you would brag about being with different partners. What he would have seen? What he would have seen that night that you tried to go both ways, hallelujah, you was tempted in homosexuality. What would he have seen? Man of God, would he have seen the pornography that's on your computer? Would he have seen that? Would that have made him adopt you? Huh? What would he have seen? Huh? The adultery? Huh? When that married man came by your house? When you met that married woman at the hotel? What would he have seen that would have made him adopt you when he adopted you? What would he have seen when you did your close friend that? When you did your sister that? When you did your brother that? When you did your husband that? With people that they love and people that love you. What he would have seen? Huh? When you was lost. And I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what he was seeing if he'd have looked close at all of us without Christ. You see, that's the thing. We get hard on one another, but I guarantee y'all done hit some people in here. We like to act like that we, amen, got ourselves in a position to deserve God. You ain't never deserved God. You ain't never deserved God. You ain't never deserved it. You never deserved it. And if it was based upon you deserving him, you would not be in his family. He adopted you by grace. What he would have seen, huh? He would have seen you stealing from the people you love. All the way from you was a child taking cookies out the cookie jar. Huh? What he would have seen, huh? After my brothers would go to Northside before me stuffing their nice shirts that they paid for in my bag so I could go to school and put that on and look like I had, hallelujah, some good shirt. What they would have seen? I was wearing their stuff when they wasn't looking. What they would have seen? Hey, brother, I'm confessing. Gold chains, everything. Listen, what they would have seen? What they would have seen all the way up, amen, to you stealing money from the place you work. What he would have seen if he had to look at your personal characteristics, how much you lie, how much you curse. What he would have seen before he saved you, would he have seen that alcohol that you couldn't shake, the drug problem, drug dealer, what he would have seen, how you rolled through the hood and you regal, but you poison and put chains on God's people all through the neighborhood. What he would have seen. Is that somebody that you want to adopt? Is that somebody you want to bring in your family? What would he have seen, huh? Your temper? Your fighting? Your knives, your guns. And that's just the things we do. Let alone when he looked even closer and look at the things we think. See, because some of us, we might not have shot him, we might not have hit him, but in our heart, we done murdered him 3 times. We might not have said nothing, but in our heart, we cursed him out 20 times. We might not have touched her, but in our heart, oh God, when she passed by, in our heart, and he see it. He see it. What he would have seen? Our jealousy when somebody else gets something. Our pride. What he would have seen? I'm just asking you, was there anything that attracted God to you? Was there anything that made him pass through the orphanage and saw you and say, I got to have this one? Nah. He said, when I passed by, I saw you in your own blood. I saw you in your own blood. I saw you in your own blood. I didn't choose you because of you. I chose you in spite of you. Hallelujah. Woo! And when you get a revelation of it, you would praise the glory of his grace. The angels probably was tripping. God said, give me that one. God, you don't know what family she come from. No. Give me that one. God, you don't know what he going to do when he get older. God, no. Give me that one. God, you don't know. God, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. God, you don't know. I don't care. Put their name down in the book. Give me that one, because that one, I'm done with them. They're going to stand before me blameless and holy and in love. Give me that one. Give me that one. And boy, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. He said, give me that one. 1 John 3:1 says, behold what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we, emphasis on that we should be called what? The sons and the daughters of God. We so unworthy. Come on, let me give you another one. And then we're going to stop. Listen, sometimes families would go into the orphanage, amen, and they would pick a child to adopt, amen, because of a need. a need or want. Maybe they couldn't have kids. And they needed, amen, they wanted a child in the house. They wanted that pitter-patter of little feet. And I done been there before of being in that situation and wanting children, amen, and for a temporary time not being able to have them. Got some families going through, and so they go and they adopt, amen, because they want to love, hallelujah, on a child. There's nothing wrong with that because they got a lot of children that need to be loved. Amen. All right? All right? All right? You see? But I want to tell you, hallelujah, this was not God's case. God didn't have a need because he was childless. God had a son. God had a child, an only begotten son, who always did right. Always I do the will of my father. I obey him perfect all the time. You see, sometimes, amen, hallelujah, when you have a child and your child rogue, amen, you go get another one that's better than your child and you bring it. This is not the case right here. He had his own son, and his son was better than all of us put together. There was no need for him to adopt us. No need. In fact, if he wanted more children, he could have made himself more sons. He's God. If he needed more company, he could have called angels. Amen. Listen, they, in a certain way, they are the sons of God. He could have said, hey, y'all, listen, let's have a party. He didn't need us. If he wanted to make sons, amen, he could have created a whole nother race, y'all, who would obey him like the stars obey him, like the moon obeys him, like the sun obey him, like the wind obey him, like the rivers obey him, like the trees obey him, like the ants obey him, like the dirt obeys him, like every molecule in our universe obey him. He could have made a race like that. But who did he choose to adopt? Huh? A wayward race. A race when he said go right, we go left. A race that, hallelujah, when we, the Bible say amen, hallelujah, Paul say, oh, wretched man that I am. Why would he do it, y'all? Why would he do it? Because he wanted to. And because he wanted us to get a revelation one day and praise him for the glory of his grace. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, we talked about adoption a little bit, and I'm not even close to being finished. It's a legal process. It's cost. We see that it was planned, man. We see God did it for us because he loved us. I don't know who's here tonight, but if you hear amen and you don't know God as Father, if you're not saved, you couldn't come to a better Tuesday. You couldn't come to a better Tuesday. Because what I'm talking about is such a good God who adopts us into his family and takes us just as we are. But Pastor, you don't know me. Oh, I don't have to know you. I know me. I know man. But I also know my God. Hallelujah. And though your sins be red as scarlet tonight, he will wash them as white as snow. Listen to me good. If you're here and you're not saved, you could be saved tonight. Salvation is as close as your lips. I'm not done with adoption. There's some other things we're going to talk about next week. And listen, you got to come for next week because we're going to talk about the benefits and all of the, hallelujah, things he give us. I'm telling you, it's just amazing, man, that, hallelujah, Jesus would call us brothers and we could be adopted into the family. Listen, you don't want to miss the message, but you don't want to miss the adoption. Amen. All right? We're going to pray with you here in a second. Amen. But I want to talk to the saints as well, the believers. If you're here tonight, amen, and God spoke to your heart, amen, let's just take our time a little bit. I saw Brian get up. Come here, what do you got? You got something? I can't. You go like that. You got something? Praise. Brian, if you got something, y'all come on. As soon as you get it ready. I'm going to keep talking until you get here. But for the believers, this word right here will make you grateful. And when you're grateful, guess what happens? You stay away from sin. See, because it's the goodness of God that leaded men to repentance. Word like this tonight will let you see how good our God is. Right? I'm thinking about doing a little bit of altar time, just a little bit. For those, amen, that want to make sure they're saved, and even those believers, amen, that want to just come and praise the glory of his grace. Just want to come and say thank you for him just adopting us when we had nothing to offer. And so if you're here, amen, get ready. Ushers, if y'all can open up the gates, amen, as the worship team come out, amen. And I'm going to pray with you as well, because we're going to praise and then we're going to go home. But I just want to pray with you. I want you to say with me, say, Lord Jesus. Thank you for paying for my adoption. Father God, thank you for adopting me by your grace. I believe that you died on the cross for all my sins. I believe you were buried. I believe on the third day you rose with all power. Now, Lord, save me. Deliver me. Fill me up with your spirit. And use me for your glory. Adopt me. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. If you feel led, amen, just let's take a few minutes, amen, and you can just praise him for his grace at the altar for a second. Then we're going to go home.
Hallelujah. Oh God, we just thank you for your love towards us. Great is your mercy towards me, your loving kindness towards me, your tender mercies I see, day after day.
Towards me, great.
day after day.
Day after day.
Forever faithful.
Forever faithful towards me.
Always provide.
You're always providing towards me.
Great is your mercy
towards me.
Great is your grace.
Great is your grace.
Come on, chance it.
Great is your mercy towards me.
Yeah, your loving kindness.
Your loving kindness towards me.
Come on, your tender mercy.
Your tender mercy.
Towards me, your tender mercies I see day after day.
Forever faithful towards me, you're always providing for me. Mercy toward me. Great is your grace.
Come on, everybody.
Great is your mercy towards me.
Your loving kindness.
Your loving kindness toward me.
What
in the mercy I see.
Day after day.
Day after day.
Forever faithful.
Forever faithful towards me.
You're always
providing for me. Great is your mercy towards me.
Great is your grace.
Great is your grace.
Great is your grace.
Great is your grace. Great is your grace. Great is your grace.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, praise his grace. Come on for accepting us as we are. Come on for adopting us. Come for coming down and getting us out of our mess. Hallelujah. God, we thank you so much, God, that you look beyond our faults and you saw our needs. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your great grace. And Father, next time we come, Lord God, you not only accept us and adopt us, but you shower and lavish us with blessings that cannot even be imagined, God. I pray your people would praise your grace all week, God, and come on in and find out more about how you bless us. God, we thank you for it. May the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he bless you and give you shalom peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all, Philly. Be blessed.